Pillar stands made of elephant feet in the entrance hall, and medieval boar spears on the walls, long lances used for hunting wild boar. Two stuffed crocodiles lay locked in combat on the upstairs landing. One had lost a glass eye, and part of the other's tail was missing. In the domestic offices, there was a huge brown bear with almost all the fur worn away from his belly. The horned heads of Kudu and Oryx were mounted on the library walls, and the head of a squint-eyed gibbon stood on a shelf there between busts of Goethe and Herder. Beside the hearth lay drums, natural horns, and lamellophones. Two grave, black figures, African fertility gods made of ebony, sat either side of the billiard room door. Icons of saints from Poland and Russia hung in the corridors, next to enlarged postage stamps from India and Japanese ink drawings. There were little Chinese wooden horses, spear tips from South America, the yellow fangs of a polar bear, the head of a swordfish, a stool with the four hooves of a sable antelope, ostrich eggs, and wooden chests from Indonesia to which the keys had long ago been lost. One guest room contained fake Baroque furniture from Florence. In another, there was a glass-topped showcase full of brooches, cigarette cases, and a family Bible with a silver lock. Right at the back of the park, there was a small stable with five stalls. Ivy grew on the walls and grass between the paving stones in the yard. Paint was peeling off the shutters. Rust had turned the water brown. Firewood was drying in two of the stalls. Tubs for plants, salt for the paths and fodder for game were stored in another. Sebastian came into the world in this house. His mother had intended to give birth in hospital in Munich, but the car had been standing out in the cold too long and wouldn't start. Her labour pains began while Sebastian's father was still trying to get the ignition to catch. The pharmacist and his wife came up from the village, and Sebastian's father waited in the corridor outside his wife's room. 2 hours later, when the pharmacist asked if he wanted to cut the baby's cord, he shouted at the man that the starter was no bloody good. Later, he apologized, but in the village, they wondered, for a long time, what that portended. Not much attention had ever been paid to children in Sebastian's family. They were taught how to hold a knife and fork properly, boys learned to kiss a lady's hand, and they were told that as far as possible, children should be seen and not heard. Most of the time, however, no one took any notice of them. Sebastian was 8 when he was allowed to eat with his parents for the first time. Sebastian couldn't imagine living anywhere else. When he went away with his family in the holidays, he felt strange in the hotels where they stayed. He was glad to come home and find everything still there, the dark floorboards in the corridors, the worn stone staircase, the soft afternoon light in the chapel, which didn't stand quite straight. There had always been two worlds in Sebastian's life. The retinas of his eyes perceived electromagnetic waves between 380 and 780 nanometers. His brain translated them into 200 tones of color, 500 degrees of brightness, and 20 different shades of white. He saw what other people saw, but in his mind, the colors were different. They had no names because there weren't enough words for them. His nanny's hands were cyan and amber. His hair, as he saw it, shone violet with a touch of ochre. His father's skin was a pale greenish blue. Only his mother had no colour at all. For a long time, Sebastian thought that she was made of water and took on the shape that everyone knew when he went into her room. He admired the speed with which she always successfully performed this transformation. When he learned to read, the letters had colours too. A was red, like the village schoolteacher's cardigan, or the Swiss flag that he had seen on the mountain hut last winter. A fat, strong, unmistakable red. B was a much lighter tone. It was yellow and smelled...